And take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 1. So we're looking at this issue of being a wise person dealing with foolish people. One of the great tests of wisdom is your ability to handle people who aren't. One of the great tests of intelligence is your ability to handle people who aren't. If you start to think that you are wise, see how you handle it when people aren't, and see whether you really are. It's very challenging. And there are two types of people that are predominant in Proverbs, the wise person and the fool. And if you remember way back when we began this series, we started off looking at the types of fools presented in Proverbs. And there is a wide variation there. And the least offensive, I guess, or the least hopeless one is the simpleton. That's a fool who is a fool because he just doesn't know, or she doesn't know. They've got to grow into these things, and you progress on through, and at the top end, the kind of the worst case scenario is first the scorner. And when a person starts to scorn those that they disagree with, they're becoming one of the worst kinds of fools. Okay, and that's why I kind of took my shot last week. I really think a lot of Christians today are listening to scorners on radio and television. And biblically, that's foolish. Okay? But the really worst case scenario is the evil fool. The person who is just entrenched in their folly and their evil. And that word, interestingly enough to me, I don't know how well you know the biblical stories, the word for that kind of fool is Nabal. You remember there was a woman named Abigail who had a husband that refused to help David when he was on the road, and his name was, well, we always pronounce it Nabal, but it's Nabal. He was an evil fool. He was a wealthy man who tried to hang on to his wealth and would not help the Lord's anointed. Okay? That's at the far end. And so you've got all of that happening. But we're not going to review all those tonight, but we're going to look instead at how do you wisely deal with a fool. Now, it may be that we step on toes tonight. That's not my objective tonight. But you got to understand that one of the reasons you have to be concerned with this is because foolishness is contagious. Folly sucks you in. You ever been there? You know, somebody's being stupid, and you get in there and you try to contend with them, and all of a sudden you find you're stupid too. Okay? The way I put it is this: when a person is intent on getting from where they are to stupid, if you get in the way, they'll push you into it. Okay? Many times that's what happens. And foolishness is like that. At the same time, however, if you're genuinely wise, you cannot escape and you cannot excuse yourself from dealing with foolish people. Okay, not in a superior sense, but just the fact when you see somebody being foolish, you can't just write them off and say, you're your problem. I don't want anything to do with you. And a lot of people who do that. And kind of this balance is found in one of the more intriguing and perplexing passages in Proverbs, Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. It's on the screen in front of you. Where he says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him." There's a tendency for it to suck you in, but answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. And that's very challenging, isn't it? It's almost like he gives two antithetical commands. But I really think what he's saying, and we'll talk about this more next week because I divide this message into two halves, is saying this: watch yourself. Because you can become foolish in dealing with this person, but at the same time, do not excuse yourself from being an instrument of God's grace in his life. This would be parallel in Galatians chapter 6, where he says, "If anyone's overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." You follow me with that? On the one hand, you don't let this suck you in. On the other hand, don't excuse yourself from being involved. There is still hope because there's still a God in heaven. Again, we'll get to that part of it next week more. And so we're going to consider this issue in two parts. The first tonight is, how do you tell if you're dealing with a fool? Okay, and that's why, you know, borrowed the title from Jeff Foxworthy. You might be dealing with a fool if. And we're going to look at some of these things. Unfortunately, I'm not as creative as Jeff Foxworthy. And it didn't rub off, by the way. He was on our flight from South Africa back to the United States. We were in the airport for 5 hours. And I looked over and I saw this guy. I thought, that looks like Jeff Foxworthy. And he's with a group of people and several kids and everything else. And I kept thinking that for this whole time we're waiting for this dumb plane. We're getting on the plane and JC goes, Dad, Jeff Foxworthy's on our flight. I said, really? He said, yeah, I just heard somebody call him Mr. Foxworthy. You know, I said, I thought that's who that was. But anyway, I do enjoy his humor. But let's see if we can deal with this tonight from that standpoint. And the next Sunday night is, once you've identified that somebody's a fool or being foolish is probably more to the point, how do you handle that in wisdom? And so let's deal with this and maybe have a little fun with it. Of four indicators you might be dealing with a person the Bible would identify as a fool. Okay? And the first one is this. You might be dealing with a fool if this person hates instruction. They just hate to learn anything. Anybody ever run into somebody like that? You know, the way we usually put it, you can't tell them nothing. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Proverbs 1:7, that great statement, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We all know that one. But look at the second half. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. They hate it. They don't like to be told they're wrong. They don't like to be told there's another way to do it. Now, if you are in that camp, understand where you're living your life. Okay, all through our lives, it's important, if you want to be wise, to be teachable. To be teachable. To always be open to this stuff, even from the people that you think you're more intelligent than, that you know more than, everything else, be teachable. And if when a person isn't, they're showing that they're a fool. Jump down to verse 20 of chapter 1, and we see this great picture of wisdom saying, look, I'm making myself available, all right? And this is why there's hope. Verse 20, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates of the city, she speaks her words. And here's what she says. How long you, okay, simple ones, those are the most innocuous fools, people who just simply don't know. Okay, how long you simple ones, will you love simplicity? How long are you going to be content to be ignorant? Okay, somebody has said when Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, he was addressing the largest denomination in the history of the church, the ignorant brethren. How long will you love simplicity? For, and now he goes to the other end, scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Okay, understand that. You know, I hope you're a learner. Somebody says, well, I'm not as intelligent as you. I don't know all that stuff. Do you know how I know all that stuff? I read like crazy. And I read, and I read, and I read, and I read some more. And I read some more after that. And I read all kinds of stuff. I read periodicals. I was talking to another pastor. I said, have you ever read this? And I mentioned something I was reading. And he said, you have time to read fiction? And I looked at him and said, you're a good enough preacher not to read fiction? Those guys know how to tell a story. Do you? Okay. Listen, scorn is delight and they're scorning, and fools hate knowledge. And then wisdom says, turn at my rebuke, surely I will pour out my spirit on you, I will make my words known to you. And here's the thing that we're going to get into next week, the fact there is always hope. Because of the grace of God, fools can become wise. If you don't believe that, look in the mirror. Okay, you've read 1 Corinthians, haven't you? God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. That's you and me. Okay? There is hope. And so watch yourself in dealing with a person like this, but understand that this is an indication. Jump down to verse 28. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Here's the issue. A lot of times this is the case. And so in verse 31, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way, and they will be filled with their own fancies. There are consequences to this. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. And I want to tell you something. It hurts to be linked to a person like this. Some of you will learn the pain of being the parent of a fool. You understand that? You'll do everything you can in your household. You do everything that people say is right parenting, and you'll still have a fool. Because they despise the instruction that you gave. And you watch them and you go see the things that go through in your life and say, I would have spared you from this. But a fool can't profit. Even though wisdom is standing there going, hey, I'm right here, listen. But they won't do it. That's how you can tell that you're dealing with somebody who is a fool. They will not listen. There are people like that. Get a grip on it. Okay, so Proverbs 13:19 says this, a desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. In other words, normally you are setting goals for yourself to improve, to do better, whatever. You have desires to accomplish. When you do, it's sweet. But fools say the most repulsive thing that I could think of would be to change, to turn away from evil. By the way, does that step on any toes? I don't want to change. Now, wait a minute. The Christian life is continuous change. Christian life is a continuous change that is capped off the moment that you die or are raptured, and in a moment, the twinkle of an eye, we shall be changed. Now, if you don't like change, then you got a real problem with God, because He wants you to change. Okay? And a fool has got this mindset saying, the last thing I want to do is to change. It's always nice to get where you're going, but fools don't want to even go. And Proverbs 15:21, folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. The fool doesn't even like to do the right thing. Okay, that's a problem. You're dealing with a fool if they hate instruction. Okay, right out there. And here's where it comes the other side. If you're a wise person, that means that you're hungry for it. You want to grow. You want to develop. You want to take in. You want to increase your knowledge and everything and the things of God. Okay, if you haven't got that mindset, you are tending towards folly. You might be dealing with a fool if they hate instruction. Number two, the second one, you might be dealing with a fool if they have a motor mouth. You like that expression? I heard that first, I remember, when I was in high school. You know, motor mouth. That's a pretty good description, isn't it? Some people. You know. Okay. Now, why is that a problem? Well, number one, the scriptures warn you that the very fact of multiplied words is going to lead to a problem. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Number one. Ladies and gentlemen, please hear this. God's wisdom and the world's wisdom are mutually exclusive here. The world's wisdom is, I always speak my mind. God's wisdom is, I only speak my mind when I have something worth speaking. And then it also is concerned with timing. I could back this up with other places in Scripture. Attitude, I only speak my mind when my attitude is right. I only speak my... It's self-control. I get a grip on these things. And if you are a person who says, they're so proud of it, I only speak my mind, then you better make good and sure that your mind's got something godly in it before your mouth opens. Or you'll be a fool. Multiplied words is a problem. Proverbs 19:13. A foolish woman is clamorous. You know what clamorous means? She makes a lot of noise. She makes a lot of noise. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean women are clamorous. It says a foolish woman is. You know what a foolish man is? He's clamorous too. Okay. He makes a bunch of noise with his mouth. Proverbs 12:23, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims themselves. In other words, a wise person doesn't say everything that they know, but a fool opens their mouth and removes all doubt. They always got to tell people what's in their head and in their thinking and stuff, and they show people exactly who they are. They can't hold it back. They have no self-control. And then, of course, I like Proverbs 10:8 and 10:10, where the last part of the verse says, a prating fool. What's a prating fool? A guy who keeps talking. It's going to fall. It's going to fall. And this parallels James 3, where it says, don't be many teachers, knowing that you'll have the greater condemnation, greater judgment, greater responsibility, for we all sin with our words, is what James says. We all do. And so you got more words, what do you got? More sin, and that's what we talked about in Proverbs 10:19. But even more than the fact that the fool talks a lot is what the fool talks about. Okay, what's the content of your speech that shows that you're dealing with a fool, or that this person's a fool? Number one, their mouth is full of slander. Mouth is full of slander. Proverbs 10:18, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Now, you put these things parallel. I think what he's saying is this. Whenever you hate someone, you don't come out and say it. You actually lie about it, especially when you're talking to their face. But when you're not talking to their face, what do? Rip them up. Rip them up. The biblical standard is this. If you got a problem with somebody, Matthew 18, go and tell him his sin between the two of you in private. And he hears you, you've won your brother. But what does the fool do? The fool refuses to talk to the person and instead talks to everybody else about the person. That's how you can tell you're dealing with a fool. That's very hard to deal with sometimes, to turn them back where they ought to go. How do you cover hatred? Don't talk to the person, talk about them. That's the person that hates someone else the most. You say, well, I don't hate them. Then shut up. Okay? You're being foolish. Second thing that's in their mouth is not just slander, but contention. It's a mouth full of contention indicates a fool. Wise people are peacemakers. Okay, we're not stirring up and continuing the fight and making it bigger. We're dealing with it and toning it down. Proverbs 18:6-7, a fool's lips enter into contention and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction and his lips are the snare of his soul. He just keeps asking for it. Now, let me tell you, that does not excuse you giving it to him. Okay? How many people I have seen who would think themselves wise that have sunk to the level of a fool because they're saying, he was asking for it. Well, yeah, you got the same mindset he's got. Okay, and it sucked you in once again. Don't go there, but understand it's there. Number three, what's coming out of their mouth is pride, a mouth full of pride. Okay, here's what this motor mouth's doing. The number one thing they like to talk about is themselves and how wonderful they are. Proverbs 14:3, in the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Notice the rod of pride and preservation. What he's talking about is the lips of a fool are the rod that beats himself up. He's the one that, again, he's asking for it, and he does pay for it. You don't have to bring it out. That'll all take care of itself. But the lips of the wise, that's protection when you share wisdom. It keeps you from getting whomped on. Okay? Proverbs 14:16, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I know how to handle this. You don't have to tell me. You're dealing with a fool. Proverbs 21:24, a proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name, scorner. He acts with arrogant pride. That's the worst kind of fool. And again, folks, I just got to underscore this biblically. people that are continually making fun of others or running them down are not people that, as Christians, you ought to be looking at as your peer group. That's all they're saying. I don't care who it is. This person exudes self-sufficiency. Proverbs 28:26. He who trusts in his own heart is a what? Is a fool. Is a fool. I just trust my own instincts. I'm kind of going, back off. Come on. Watch it. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Where does the wisdom come from, by the way? Where does wisdom begin? Fear of the Lord. I'm a sinner. He's righteous. I don't trust my own ways. I continually trust His. And my wisdom then comes from God, and that is a tremendous protection on my life. You may be dealing with a fool if his mouth is full of pride. Fourth, his mouth is full of folly. Okay? Dumb stuff comes out. All right? Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. You know, when you got somebody that can't stop talking and they can't stop saying stupid things, wise up. Sitting there arguing with them isn't going to change anything. Okay? It's just going to pull you down. Proverbs 15:7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. He dispels ignorance. Proverbs 15:14. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. The understanding person is looking for knowledge. The fool is looking for more foolishness. He's looking for something that will confirm what he always thought in the first place, and he calls it study. Years ago, one of the teens who grew up here went away to college, and he found himself in a room at college at a secular school. It was really kind of fascinating because he had two guys in his room that were committed Christians, which was great, but they were from two different theological traditions, let's put it that way. One was very strongly in this direction, one was very strongly in this direction, and they didn't agree with each other, and he's kind of standing there in the middle going, watching this whole thing. And it was very educational for him, because he came home, he sat down in my office, and he said, you know, I really had to think about what I believe here. And that's a good thing. I like that. That's a real good education you're getting. And, you know, it's only costing you about $15,000 a year to get it. But he looked around my office, and he looked at all the books in there, and he said, you know, you got all these books. Is there anything here by people you disagree with? And I said, a better question would be, is there any book on this shelf anywhere that I agree 100% with what the author says? Of course we disagree. I learn from that. And I find out that there are things that I don't know, and I don't follow my prejudices. I'm looking to learn. And you seek knowledge, but the fool just goes, give me more stupidity. I don't want to hear that stuff. Remember, they don't like instruction. Number five, their mouth is overflowing with answers without listening. Here's an important verse that's at the back of all Christian counsel and discipleship. Proverbs 18:13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Wise people are good listeners. We listen carefully. We ask questions if we're going to be really wise. We probe and try to find out what we're really hearing and see if we've got it right. But the fool is just, hey, yeah, I know the answer to that one. Hey, wait a minute, that's not what they were asking. Come on, figure it out here, or that's not really what they're... You know, when you talk with a person, by the way, it's very important for you. A person says to you, says, I've got a problem with... And they give it to you, and you have what your tendency is to kind of back your truck up and dump your whole load of assumed answers to their problem. The problem with that is very often they're wrong about what the problem is. They may have misassessed. That's what they call the presentation problem. It's kind of like the guy who had his neighbor come over, and his neighbor was a champion gardener. And he came to him and he said, you know, I wanted to talk to you about your lawn. You got a real problem out there. You got this root fungus, you know, and everything else. You need to deal with it right now or you're going to lose your whole lawn. He says, root fungus? He says, yeah. So he went outside, and the guy says, look over there. There's some, and there's some, and there's some. And this guy looks out there, and he starts to laugh. He says, what? His neighbor says, what? You got root fungus? He says, no. That's home plate, that's first base, that's second base, that's third base. I don't have root fungus, I got children. Oh. Don't answer it until you hear it out. Think about it. See the whole thing in their perspective. Sixth, a fool's mouth vents feelings indiscriminately. Ooh. You ever get the feeling that biblical wisdom isn't really what psychology is all about? Okay, by the way, let me stop here and just say this. You look at this and understand that a person who is like this, it may not be all of these things at once. You need to understand that they are biblically a fool, and you got to respond to them appropriately. So come next week and see how to respond. But this should temper the way you react. But a lot of times, what do? We get angry. Okay, learn from New Testament wisdom, James chapter 1, the wrath of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. We try to stand toe-to-toe and argue with them, and then we become contentious just like they are. We look down on them, and we become prideful just like they are. Do you see how it sucks you in? You know, and when we talk about this issue of venting feelings, here's one. Proverbs 29:11, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. You need to vent. I need to vent. God says, that's really not the best thing. Now, please understand, this is not stoicism. He's not saying the wisest man is a person who never shows any emotion. Okay, that's stoicism. That's not biblical either. I was talking with somebody, a fellow that I respected very much, and I had his father's funeral, and I said, you know, it really doesn't seem to hit you yet. And he says, we so-and-so men have learned to stuff those feelings down deep. That's not biblical. That's not the point. But at the same time, you know, you got to have some wisdom about where you share them. You know, you got to have some godly people to get together with and say, you know, can I just let you hear what's running through my mind, and, you know, we'll kind of talk this out together. And they're willing to take that? Fine. You know. But the fool walks around and everybody needs to hear exactly how they're feeling. I had a really bad day. And they don't know whether this person is able to handle it or not, whether this person is going to give them wise biblical counsel or not, or whatever else. You've got to have control of that whole process. A fool has a mouth that vents feelings indiscriminately. Proverbs 12:15-16. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. Look at that. A fool's right in his own eyes. And so as a consequence, the minute he feels something, he feels free to share it with everybody who will listen, because obviously I'm in the right and they're in the wrong. But that isn't necessarily the way it is it? Just because you feel like something doesn't mean that you're right or justified in your feelings. That just means you feel it. And so he looks at it, he says, a fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man shows that he's wise or prudent by the fact that, you know what? You did something wrong. It was obviously wrong. And I'm wise enough not to fall into the pit of going after you right away about that. I don't have to react to that right this instant. Got control of myself. That's how you become a peacemaker, by the way. It's even when they're wrong, you don't have to jump on it all at once. Even when you're justified in feeling anger doesn't mean you got to let it out. Proverbs 18:2, a fool has no delight in understanding, but instead just in what? Expressing his own heart. How you know you're dealing with a fool? All you think about is telling you what they think. Don't want to listen. Don't want to learn. Don't want to grow. Number three, not only are they hate instruction, they have a motor mouth. Number three, you might be dealing with a fool if they find sin recreational. Okay? Proverbs 10:23, to do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. He knows that's not the way to handle it. And that's not really recreation. Okay, we really got to watch this, folks, as Christians. I don't want to get into some law that you can't go here, you can't do that. But at the same time, like I said before, if you can't get up and walk out of a movie, you better not go to a movie. Because a lot of it is recreational sin. Okay? You can't do it. To do evil is sport to a fool, but it's not to us if we want to be wise. Proverbs 14, 8 to 9. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. Verse 9 probably should be translated, fools mock at guilt. They don't want to accept the fact that there's any guilt. And a wise person says, I understand my way, I understand what I do and what I've done, and I deal with it, and I'm not afraid of guilt. I am guilty at times, and because of that, people respect you more than the person that tries to pretend that they're always right. Do you follow that? Think about the people you really respect. Is there anybody you really deeply respect that has never acknowledged in your hearing that they were wrong? Wise people are like that. Wise people don't always get it all right. Wise people acknowledge their wrongs and their shortcomings. Okay? Fools kid themselves and mock at guilt. Wisdom makes one honest about their conduct and brings favor from both God and others because they're honest about it. Proverbs 19:3, the foolishness of a man twists his way, and then his heart frets against the Lord. It's my own foolishness that messed up my life, and then I turn around and say, why is God letting this happen to me? Okay? They fret against the Lord because they've done this stuff. The fool is the one who's spewing that stuff. Their folly strikes home, they blame God. Then Proverbs 26, 11 to 12. As a dog returns to its own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. They go back to it over and over again. They find sin recreational, and they say, oh, man, this is addictive behavior, by the way. A dog returning to its own vomit. Okay? A drunk. I got drunk. I feel so bad. I need a drink. Okay, you see through that, don't you? But you got a glutton who says, oh, I ate too much. Who's for dessert? I'll settle my stomach. Okay, you name whatever sin you want. And we start to think that going back to the very thing, you know, an angry person loses their temper, they feel terrible about it, then something happens, and what do? I got to get angry again. I got to fix things. Well, look what happened the last time. You might be dealing with a fool if they find sin recreational. That's what's going to fix their life. And the fourth thing, then, that you might be dealing with a fool if they lack proper caution or discipline in their actions. Proverbs 14:29, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. They're reactionary. You know, you gotta learn to be a person who controls their responses to things if you want to be wise. But a fool, they're all whatever happens, immediately you hear about it. Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and who is led away by it is not wise. In other words, they don't have enough caution to be able to do this. Yeah, again, it really wouldn't upset me hugely if you were at a family gathering and somebody gave you a glass of wine. But let me tell you something. If you let it control you, if you react that way, and we're, hey, you got a problem. And the problem isn't the wine. The problem is in here, in your heart. Proverbs 21:20. There is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. He has no self-control. It's all over the place. Okay. One of the biggest things we got to do to teach our children, guys, is, ladies and gentlemen, is control. How to control their money. How to control their appetites. How to control these things if you want them to be wise. And then Proverbs 22:3 and Proverbs 27:12 say both the same thing. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The prudent man sees it coming and takes steps to avoid it. The fool keeps pressing on ahead. Now, let's review these. You might be dealing with a fool if, number one, they hate instruction. Two, they have a motor mouth. Three, they find sin recreational. Four, they lack proper caution or discipline in actions. If you're dealing with a person like this, understand that you can't deal with them the way you deal with a wise person. You've got to stop yourself and say, I've got to be wise enough to know that I'm dealing with someone who's foolish, and that's going to temper my actions. Next week we'll see why, but the bottom line is this. When you deal with a fool like a wise person, he hands you back your head on a platter. And this is a time that a godly person has to be their most godly. If they're really wise, they're wise enough to be godly enough for two. To control themselves. To react in a way that pleases God. Because why? Would you turn with me? It's not on the screen. Turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm sure I'll touch on this next week too. Second Timothy chapter 2, would you go down to verse 23? Verse 23 says this, "But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Every argument with a fool is foolish and ignorant. They suck you in. Knowing that they generate strife, it just gets worse." Notice what he says, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition." Here's the important part. "If God, perhaps, will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." What is the only hope for a fool? That God will open their eyes to their folly and grant them repentance. Can you bring that? No. Can I? No. That's why it's important to know when you're dealing with a fool. It's time to step back under the mighty hand of God and let Him do His work. And it's the most important time ever in your life for you to be as wise as possible, that you stay out of the way of God dealing with this person. We'll see how to do that next week. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word and the way it kind of sends up signal flags. Father, if we're raising fools in our household, may we, instead of reacting to their foolishness, get a grip and let the fruit of the Spirit shine through all the more. If we've got co-workers or subordinates or bosses that are fools, may we see that this is a time we cannot react, we must act. Lord, we need real wisdom today. There's a lot of fools out there, and all too often I look in the mirror and catch a glimpse of one at home too. Father, may I use wisdom in dealing even with my own folly, so that the conflict might be overcome by grace and mercy and the greatness of God.